that would meet the chair's desire that there be something very straightforward that tells the PNB that we want candidates' CART statements to be run.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Are there any objections to that language? As in the past?
Okay.
That
Madam Chair?
Not substitute for the other.
No, it just takes.
For the previous, it just truncates
Matt,
it.
Point
so you're,
of order.
You're eliminating, I'm sorry, you're eliminating the rest of this?
Yeah, it eliminates national election supervisors mm-hmm. determining the frequency and rotation. And then if we pass the other motion, that will take care of it.
Okay, thank you.
Either
Ted,
way, it takes
care. Ted?
I'm finding, with all the extraneous interjections, I'm finding it very hard to follow what the motion is. Can
mm-hmm.
can a clean reading of the motion be done loud enough so that it's clear to easily heard? And then I can vote on this thing.
All right. Mary, could you
okay.
do that, please? Loudly.
Sure. The PNB Elections Committee recommends to the Foundation Executive Director and the Pacifica National Board that they direct all station management. Did we agree to strike continue or not? Sorry,
we did
that was.
Not.
Didn't agree.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. To continue to air candidates' CART statements as in the past. That is what is
Period.
Now being proposed.
Right.
What
All
is
right.
the point
any,
of information?
Any, yes, Ted.
Is it possible that they haven't been aired in the past?
No, I think they've all been aired
all
in the past, haven't they,
yeah.
Richard?
Well, I don't know about any other stations. I know they have here, but...
Mm-hmm.
They have a KPFK.
I haven't heard of any that didn't.
BFW, you never know.
I think we would have heard if they hadn't in the past at all. Are there... any objections to moving on to a vote to that?
Or
can we, and if there are no objections, we can adopt it as read.
Okay.
All right, hearing no objections, then we'll adopt that as read.
Okay.
Now, where does that leave us? That leaves us with...
Terry?
Terry, go ahead.
Yeah, technically we've just approved Don's substitute to my substitute to
right.
Richard's substitute.
Oh.
Right.
So now we should once and for all approve the entire resolution as
right.
slightly amended.
All right.
Point of information?
Yes.
I think that's incorrect. I think when you pass the substitute motion, you've passed it. And my question to the chair is, if we don't, at this stage of the game, does that mean that we end up wasting all of this time? I think that Don or Terry is wrong. I think we have passed three substitute motions, and that's the end of it. And I would like the chair to rule that my point is well taken.
It may well be, and I'm afraid I am not clear on that. Perhaps better parliamentary heads than mine will have to weigh in here, may have some opinions.
Mary Burr,
mm-hmm.
I think that Terry is correct. We had three... We had a motion by Don White that we're considering. There were three motions made to amend the language of that. The last of those three was Don White himself, which and that we agreed to without exception. That, therefore, is the language that goes in the motion. We did not yet vote on the whole motion. It's a formality because everyone is going to vote for it, but we really need to go ahead and vote for Don's motion as it has been amended.
And just ask for whether there are objections.
And
Madam Chair, may I speak one more time?
Yes,
if
we have two opinions.
It,
well, can someone
done.
Else who hasn't spoken on this point yet speak up? Terry or Richard or anyone else who
I did speak. The last thing we did was accept without objection Don's amendment to his motion.
Right.
So it would be very simple for the chair to ask if there's any objections to accepting
the whole
motion
as amended.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. Are there any objections to accepting the motion as amended? All right, hearing none, thank you, Ted. And Perry and Don, and that motion then will stand as amended. Wonderful. Good work, people. I think we've done very well. Now, we have about two-thirds of the agenda left to go through.
This is Carol Wolf. I've got to sign off.
All right,
okay,
Carol.
Thanks,
thank
Carol.
You.
Bye, Carol.
Good night.
Good night now.
I would like to. Is it
night.
Possible to entertain a motion to adjourn?
I would hope we would get to Terry's motion. You all wanted to put your stuff in front, and now Terry has a motion, which I think we should look at, and I don't see that it will take
motion
as long.
Motion to adjourn is always in order.
I'm sorry, point of order.
Adjournment is always in order, yes.
We had three special order items. We've dealt with two.
Correct.
So I would ask that we deal with the last one, at least before we adjourn. This is with regard to campaign finance reform, desperately needed, I think.
Well, there is a motion to adjourn, and unless that is withdrawn, I think we have to vote on that.
Point of order?
Yes, sir.
The member didn't make a motion to adjourn. He asked if a motion to adjourn would be entertained.
Oh, would be entertained, all right. Thank you. Well, all right, at the moment, then, I will not. We have a good deal of work to do, and there does seem to be a sentiment against it, so we will not do that. Thank you, Terry. Our next special order motion is the fair campaign violations on the WBAI LSB website.
No, I'm sorry. Point of order, Madam Chair?
Yes.
There were three special order motions
mm-hmm.
set for 9:30, and the time was adjusted because the session was less ran longer than anticipated. But it was Don's motion, Richard's motion, and my motion with regard to campaign financing.
Can you read that, or you said your computer's down, so you need to.
It's relatively short.
Okay.
That's correct, actually. Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay.
I'll put that in the minutes on the agenda.
I hope that isn't
so.
In line
okay,
with Sawyer's calling things briefs.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
That was a joke, never mind.
Oh, nobody. I'll chuckle. Okay. To eliminate the influence of money in local station board elections and to level the playing field, and I'll read it again more slowly, Mary, and to level the playing field among all candidates, the PNB Elections Committee recommends to the PNB that privately funded campaign mailings to local radio station members be disallowed effective immediately. And I'll read it more slowly for you to, and I'm sorry, my computer is not operating as it should.
So the Election Committee recommends that the PNB do this, right?
Well,
right.
The only person that can do it.
Point of order.
Okay,
Point of order, yes.
I was going to read it for the secretary.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Point of order?
I believe the motion is out of order because California state law allows members access to membership lists or a substitute to be provided by a corporation specifically for the purpose of allowing members to lobby members with
right.
paid mailings.
May I
well, that's a right allowed under the state law. I don't know that we can supersede that by a motion.
May I speak to that, Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
Okay. Article 12, Section 4 of our bylaws actually discusses this in particular. And the wording, and this is something I scribbled earlier when things were working, so maybe someone can actually pull it up in case I the section says, when a foundation... Okay. The essential, the gist of it is that when a member requests access to the mailing list for a particular reason, if the foundation has provided a reasonable alternative to that, the foundation may in fact deny access to its membership list. And by providing a candidate statement booklet, which enables candidates to communicate directly with each member who will be receiving that along with their ballot, the foundation does, in fact, provide for direct communications with regard to any candidate's ability to run and succeed in the job. It fulfills that requirement. So that, in fact, these privately funded mailings, which, as you know, is a tremendous disadvantage to those people who can't come up with the $15,000 to $20,000 or whatever it is that, you know, folks have been using to get out their mailings, it's a tremendous disadvantage to the rest of the candidates mm-hmm. running.
I'm going to rule that this is out of order because the booklets themselves are a different category entirely, and I don't believe that the we're glad to discuss this. My feeling is that access to the list does imply the right to use them, and to deny that would put us at loggerheads with that particular provision, which in fact is designed to guarantee access to the list beyond the official foundation-supported booklets. In other words, independent access outside of official channels. So I do think that this is out of order.
I think you're going to need a bylaws amendment to change that, and that's going to have to be reviewed by a lawyer doing some studying to make sure that it's not going to violate the state law.
I'm sorry, this is Serena. May I have the floor?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, if someone could actually read Article 4, because my recollection is that the language is actually very clear. Thanks.
All of Article 4?
It's Article 12, Section 4, actually.
Article 12, Section 4.
Yeah, I have that. It's kind of long.
Well, start somewhere.
Well, there's one part of it that's...
I think it's the last... Well, actually, there are a couple of sentences, I think, that really highlight the point.
Let me read Section A. Section 4A, which is articulating members' inspection rights. A, to inspect and copy the records of all members' names, addresses, and voting rights at reasonable times upon 5 business days prior written demand on the foundation, which demand shall state the purpose for which the inspection rights are requested. Where the foundation reasonably believes that the information will be used for an improper purpose, where the foundation provides a reasonable alternative to achieve the member's articulated purpose, the foundation may deny the member access to its membership list and information.
Right.
Okay.
Can I speak to that in terms of my experience with Pacifica,
mm-hmm.
what I've been told?
Anyone else on the stack?
Yes, Ted.
Ted, all right. Richard, go ahead.
Having looked into that on a couple of occasions for various situations, basically, you know, the standard practice is that if you want to send something to all of the members, they'll do it for you, as opposed to giving you the list because of the donation situation. So, I mean, that's the alternative that's in there, that there's another way they do it, and they'll have it mailed out to them. So, in other words, if you want to mail a letter to them saying that, you know, you think the sun's going to rise tomorrow 2 hours earlier, you got the money, you can do it. I understand Serene's concern, you know, and I'm very sympathetic for it, but I don't think we can do anything with it without a bylaws change, because that allows somebody to send something out to them, whatever it is. And that's, you know, if you'll pay the rate, freight, you can communicate with the members. You can send them a letter. And there is a purpose for that. It's unfortunate about the economics in reality, you know, but the purpose is that, in case you think the board's doing something wrong, you want to tell all the members, you can do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mary Berg here.
Mary, yes.
I'm not sure that we can interpret that right at this moment for sure, and whether Serene's amendment, it certainly is grossly unfair, because only wealthy people can ever do that, and other people can never possibly do that, and whether that violates the bylaws, I personally am not sure, and I'd rather have it go to a corporate counsel or somebody who is, you know, the regularly delegated person, attorney, to do this. I don't think here at this late hour we can do it on the phone. So I don't see why we don't take up the amendment, and if it passes, we can then see if it's not legal. Okay, so that'll be the end of it, but at least we tried to make some kind of equality here.
I would like to speak to that too. Richard?
Mary, I appreciate your concern, and I you know, I don't have a problem with it, but I can tell you I've done extensive research on inspection rights and read every one of the cases on it in California, some of them more than once, and we can't stop people from doing that. We can't stop people, the way the law is now, from going in and saying, I want to mail this to somebody. It's just, you know, so...
Even if the recipient complains, and I know there are cases where they do, so doesn't that affect... I mean, there's a whole body of case law out there that we certainly aren't going
to
know.
The person has a right to contact the members to notify them of their concern. That's why they have the part where you don't get to have the person's address, and they have to mail it for you. When the mail comes, you can throw it in the trash. By not giving them the person's address, that limits them continuing to send stuff to them without going through the headquarters. But the whole idea of that is to have ability for the members to communicate with each other. And granted, there is a financial thing there, and being a working class kid, I sort of understand that. But I can just tell you that law sits today, we could official, but it's impossible.
I would like to, this is Serena.
I'd ask to be on the stack.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Serena. Anyone else on the stack?
I thought I was.
Who? Ted, please. All right. Ted, go ahead and ask Serena.
Yeah, I would like to suggest to Serene, because it's so late in the game and the evening, that she would withdraw this motion. And while I support the intent of it, I think there's also other issues, and one of them is we want to get people to vote. And if it takes somebody doing a special mailing and riling people up, maybe that'll do it. I also don't think that, as this motion is written, that it has any teeth in it. If an outside group, and I know of some here in Houston that have gotten phone numbers and addresses of addresses specifically of people in this community, if they want to send out a mailing to the people whose names and addresses they have access to, how are you going to penalize them for doing it? And furthermore, how are you going to penalize the candidates who they are either attacking or supporting? I think there's a whole slew of absences of teeth in this thing, and I don't think you'll ever put any teeth in it, so I don't think even a bylaws resolution change is going to solve this problem. I think it takes a lot more thought, but I've given this some thought, and I don't think this thing is going to work, and so I'm done.
I'm going to rule this really out of order, and if you'd like to vote to overrule the chair,
Carolyn.
But I would like to
Carolyn.
Yes.
Carolyn.
Yes.
I have not had an opportunity to motivate
yet.
My motion.
Oh,
I did ask
sorry.
To speak at the same time that Mary did. You've recognized two other people in between, and you now wish to rule it out of order.
I didn't hear your voice, Serene. Go right ahead. I apologize if I didn't hear you initially.
There are a number of things that I think people are not getting about this motion. And in fact, about the section that Terry was kind enough to read, the language here section 12, Article 4, very clearly states that if the foundation provides a reasonable alternative to giving up their mailing list, that they can, in fact, deny access. And we're not talking here about someone being able to complain about something they feel is or is not happening, because, in fact, if the foundation has no way of notifying all of the membership of that person's concern, and anyone in there as a member can make this request if they feel that it has something to do with their membership personally. That in fact, if the foundation has no mechanism of notifying the entire membership of an individual's particular concerns about something that is or is not being done properly, that is one matter. That obviously might be a situation where the foundation should not restrict access. But I would argue that campaign literature that speaks to the virtues of any particular candidate or group of candidates, or the lack of virtue, if people choose to engage in what's called negative campaigning, the lack of virtue of other candidates can, in fact, be done within the context of someone's candidate statement if they write it in a manner that conveys that information. So there is an alternative. The suggestion that I think Ted expressed a concern about what essentially is an endorsement of someone or groups of people by other organizations. I'm not speaking to what other organizations may choose to do, but I am speaking to whether or not the foundation is required to, in addition to providing the candidate statements, to provide a mailing list for extra mailing so that those who are flush, and there are those among us who are, have then such a tremendous advantage over people who can't come up with that kind of money. You know, we're dealing here with people who may have wonderful skills to bring to the table, to the board, but may have even needed a waiver or volunteered in lieu of the $25 for their membership because their circumstances, their personal circumstances, financial circumstances are so restricted. And you put that up against someone who can drop a $20,000 check without a thought. You know, that's not about bringing enthusiasm or participation in the voting membership. That's about being able to buy a vote. You know, and if what we want, if what we say we want, is a society where people are valued for what they can bring, then why isn't the playing field level within Pacifica with regard to how you get on the board? We pass the motion. If the national board thinks that there's any possibility that it's a bylaw, you know, in fact, they can send it up for review between now and Friday. They have someone on retainer who I don't think is going to need, you know, endless amounts of time to research that. It's either good or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
But to kill it now, you know, sends a message about how serious we are about inclusion.
Mm-hmm. Terry?
Yes, Terry.
Yes, it's not the bylaws that control this. It is state law. The motion as presented was properly ruled out of order by the chair. But state law does not prohibit campaign finance reform, which I agree is something the Pacifica needs.
I can't hear you.
State law does not prohibit campaign finance reform, which I think is something Pacifica needs and could adopt. If the motion was reworded at a future date so as to say something along the lines of consistent with the California Corporations Code, then it would no longer be out of order as being against state law. If it set a limit on campaign expenditures rather than prohibited use of the mailing list for member purposes, it would be legal. I think the motion needs more thought, and a better motion could come forward, and that was properly ruled out of order.
Don White.
Richard Phelps.
Lauren Williams.
Yes, please. And
I'll be brief.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Sorry, who's next?
I think Don was next, and
well,
LeBarn, and then Richard.
Yeah, I do want to say that I fully understand Shireen's concern. I mean, one of the things we're looking at is fair elections in the broader community. So this is not an issue that I would just write off. I fully understand her concern. We're hoping to level the playing fields among candidates because millionaire candidates have advantages over working class candidates. There are too many. The reason I do not believe we should deal with this tonight is there are too many ramifications. I mean, I can think of one. For instance, what if a South, let's say, Asian South Pacific Islanders decided they wanted to support a candidate and get them on the board, and they raised money in their community and said, we would like access so we can send mailings to promote this person of color that we believe should be elected, and point out that there are no Asians and South, you know, Pacific Islanders on the LSB. I mean, there are too many ramifications for us to debate this tonight. So I actually support the thrust of what Terry said, and I think we should revisit this and actually look at the ramifications, the state law and all other ramifications over denying access to mailing lists to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Vaughn?
Yes, thank you.
Point of personal privilege. I have to be absent. I'm sorry, point
excuse
of personal
me, Lauren,
privilege.
Point
I have to
yes?
leave the call. I have to be away from the phone for approximately 4 minutes. I hope
all right.
nothing
I can,
drastic
I can hold
will
it,
have
Mary.
Happened. I can't help it.
Thank you. No, I agree with what has been said, that you know the issue of campaign reform, financing of campaigns is something that one could look at. But I think that this motion just basically is trying to restrict the listeners' access and giving the listeners and trying to an equal opportunity to contact the listener, the base, because in terms of
others have access to listeners either through their own personal emails, like in terms of staff candidates, they have access to their own personal email list, and they can contact lots of listeners that way. And the only way that an outside listener can get access is through a list, and which would have to be purchased. So, you know, this is like eliminating one, the listeners contacting other listeners, but, you know, still allowing staff candidates to be able to access the listeners. So I think it's very unfair and short-sighted. And I think
my
that we
personal
do
privilege.
Madam Chair. Excuse me, LaVarne has not finished yet. Thank you.
Thank you. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Lorraine?
Okay, so she gets to finish maligning me. You know, it is improper. It is improper of her to impute
point
motive. It is improper of you to allow it to continue.
Chair, would you call
the member is out of order. You're in fact impugning motives again, and I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to name
I am imputing motive?
For doing
she
this.
Just sat there and said that my intent was to silence listeners. The person who has the biggest listener, the biggest listener that they use abusively is not a staff person.
The member is out of order, and I will ask the secretary to take down these words and put them in the record, and I'm going to ask you to not...
And I would ask that the entire discussion be recorded.
It is
beginning with her statement.
And I'm going to ask what penalty we should impose on this. This is the third time this has occurred, and I think the membership needs to address this. I'm going to stop the discussion for a moment. Point of order, Terry?
I want to point out that the secretary has left the call, so she cannot take it down.
But from the audio, I'm going to ask her to do that.
But from the audio, she can, yes.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And what would the membership like to do about these?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
In a personal privilege.
Excuse me, Ted has the floor, please.
I think that when Serene raised her point of personal privilege in the middle of what LaVarne was saying, the chair failed to properly stop LaVarne and entertain. You can interrupt a speaker for a point of personal privilege, and I think this is getting way out of control, and we should get back to the substance of this meeting. Of this particular part of the agenda, and I don't think any disciplinary action on the part of anybody towards anybody is appropriate at this time.
I disagree that someone can be interrupted in the middle for a point of personal privilege, Don.
Yeah, I believe that there's
a... I will appeal that ruling of the chair.
Excuse me?
I think there's a very high level of sensitivity, because I was listening carefully to what LaVarne was saying, and I didn't hear a personal attack against another member, so maybe it went over my head, or maybe it was so subtle that... But I think that we need to kind of reduce the level of sensitivity, and that we are obligated not to read into the statements of other members personal attacks that may not be there.
Yes, thank you. Was there someone else who wanted to speak?
Yes, I wanted to speak.
Serene, go ahead.
Carrie has a rule.
I'm sorry?
I can... On my appeal to the decision of the chair?
Yes.
On page 22 of the tables in Robert's Rules of Order, when a question of privilege is raised while a regular introduction as main motion is not in order, it is in order when another has floor, but should not interrupt a person who has begun to speak unless unavoidable.
Thank you very much.
You like the buildings burning down.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for the clarification. I didn't have that page reference. Yes, Mary.
Point of information I've got back on the phone. Is this is because I said I had to leave. I'm sorry, I have some emergencies that I'm dealing
not your
with
fault.
And I was unavoidable. I have someone that I had to deal with that very instant.
No, it was not.
It
had
nothing to do with
it.
Oh, okay.
Well,
it had everything to do with you, Mary.
Okay.
I barely been censored because I interrupted LaVarne.
I'm deeply offended.
The question was
sorry.
Excuse me, I'm having trouble hearing. Someone raised a point of order?
Yes, this is Terry. The chair asked what discipline should be imposed, and Member Weisgall suggested no discipline. We should vote on Mr. Weisgall's motion.
All right, is that the only suggestion we have? All right.
Yes, I was attempting to speak.
We'll take a vote. Mary, if you would.
Okay, you realize I have no idea what we're...
Well, is there objection to Mr. Weisgall's motion?
There wasn't. There is from me, yes.
Okay.
Well, I would object because I have no idea what it is.
See, I don't know objection.
There was an interruption, and I censured, I moved to censure, or wanted to ask for censure, of the member who had made the third interruption of the night.
Point of information.
And asked the membership what discipline they would like to impose, and I was, and Ted offered that he didn't think any should be imposed.
Point of information.
Okay, that's the motion. Okay.
Yes, Ted?
What is the impact of a motion to censure?
The impact of it? I don't know of any, except that it is on the record.
Makes it official that you've been disciplined. Like a write-up in a personnel file without punishment.
And
thank you. Let's go forward.
Mary, could you call the roll on Ted's motion, which
is
no discipline should be imposed?
Okay, that no discipline should be imposed. Okay. Let's see.
Well, point of order.
Yes.
Okay.
I believe admonishment by the chair and statements by the chair that are recorded and listed in the minutes is a form of punishment. So there may already have been adequate punishment. So that will affect my vote here.
I'm coming back to myself. I'm just going to record that. Okay, Carolyn Burden?
No.
Okay, you're voting against Ted Weisgall's motion that no discipline should be imposed. Okay, see. Jane Gatewood, I think, left the call. Terry Goodman?
Yes.
Okay. Patty Hepley, I guess, maybe she's really good. I think Melinda did leave now.
Oh, really?
Oh, God. Melinda, you keep saying you're gone. Okay, Melinda.
The rumors of my demise are highly overrated. Although I am in deep mourning because of my homegirl.
Point of order, let's go. I'm tired.
Ted, shut up.
I'm sorry.
Point of order.
How does the member vote?
Do we not have that language?
Thank you. The point is well taken.
No.
Melinda?
Okay, you're voting no. Okay. Richard Phelps?
I'm going to pass for a minute. Meditating on that.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Deb Shafto?
No.
Deb?
No.
Okay, you're voting no. Okay. Let's see. Ted Weisgall.
Yes.
Don White, sorry.
No.
LaVarne Williams?
No.
And Carol Wolf, I believe, has left the call. Okay, so I will vote yes. And Richard, that's Mary Berg, and... Patty Hefley, I guess she's really gone.
Long gone.
Did Richard vote?
I'm voting and Richard.
No.
Oh.
You're voting no?
Right.
Okay.
Patty also.
See, Patty's there. Hey, Patty,
yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I've been muted.
I know. Okay. So you voted no. All right.
Yes.
1, 2, 3. Okay, so I have 4 yes. I have 6 no. So, Ted Weisgall.
Don White wishes to be recognized.
I have 4 yes and 6 no, so it fails, right?
Right.
The body has reflected they do want some form of punishment or discipline. I move that it be recorded in the minutes that the chair admonished once again the member for outbursts and accusations against other members, and that that be just simply recorded in the minutes.
Anyone else want to speak to that?
So you that chair admonished the member.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes, Ted.
I've been on this call since 7 o'clock, and I have to be up at 6 in the morning. I have to leave the call now.
All right, Ted. Thank you for telling us.
Thank you. Bye.
Good night.
Hi, Ted.
Night, Ted.
Okay. All right. Is that the only suggestion we have?
Right. And I'd like to speak to it. I think that's appropriate for a first situation like this.
All right. Is there any objection to that?
Point of information, I just wanted to clarify the language. I was trying to, moves that the minutes record that chair admonished the member, and that's actually all I have. I missed some of the language here.
Admonished the member for an outburst and accusations against another member.
For an outburst and accusations. Okay.
And I would like the we have already said this, and I think I on the call you were off the phone, but I asked that it be recorded that this was the third time tonight that we've had to address this issue. So that too will be in the minutes, I assume, in addition to this.
Yeah, I guess I have to listen to that part.
Yes, please. I ask that it be recorded and the language be recorded.
Okay,
well.
So that's I have to listen to that. Okay.
Please. Yes. Is there any objection to this? All right, hearing
I
no
object.
Objection.
I object.
All right. Do you want to take a vote then, Mary, if there's an objection to this?
Okay. Well, is there anybody who wants to? Okay.
Right. I mean, the
any discussion?
Has a right to address.
Yes, Serene. Please. Committee?
The member in question made a statement that I was, in fact, by my motion, attempting to silence listener members. That was not the intent of the motion. That is not the wording of the motion. That was not in any way related to my argument. I raised the point of personal privilege while she was speaking because I would have raised it before had I known she was going to attack. Because that is how I experienced what she said. It is, in fact, a gross distortion of anything that I've said with regard to limiting the ability of people to throw money at into the process in a way that is unfair. So I interrupted with a point of personal privilege. I was abruptly told that I would not be recognized, that someone else had the floor. She was allowed to continue her characterization of my intent, which is improper under Robert's rules. The chair failed to call her to order while she was doing it or after, but in fact called me to order as the member then began to interrupt me when I had the floor, without asking for the floor, by the way, or raising any point. It is a pattern of treatment that I have found afforded me by this chair. And I do not have much hope that it will change, but I would ask that the record include, as I have every time that this has come up, it include the entire discussion that then led to the so-called discipline, because it is, in fact, a standard of treatment that has been consistently uneven. That's it.
Point of information or point of clarification, I guess. There was a statement made earlier in the discussion that led up to this, a distortion of the fact that these mailings that had been done before cost $10,000-$15,000. In fact, since I was involved in one of them, I happen to know that it cost considerably less than that, closer to $5,000 or $6,000. And it was not by one person, as was implied, but by a collective that had organized.
I'm sorry, point of order. That is entirely... Point of order?
Mm-hmm. Point of order,
that is entirely inappropriate. You're, in fact, misusing your position as chair to insert what you say is accurate information. That
well,
has
I'm,
nothing
I'm,
to do... But, Madam Chair, that has nothing to do with the incident that's being discussed. If you wish to introduce what you felt was different information when I raised it, which was long before now, then you could have put yourself on the stack and done so then. It has nothing to do with what we're discussing presently.
The issue of fact, I think, does have to do with it. I'm simply correcting a misstatement of fact that was made with what I happen to know is the truth. So I'm sorry that I didn't have the opportunity. There was no stack at that point. Other things intervened. But I was correcting a misstatement that had been...
You're the holder of the stack. You could have said, I'm putting myself on the stack.
The member has spoken. Is there anything else you wish to say to this amendment? I mean, to this motion that's coming up? Does anyone else wish to speak?
Yes, this is Richard.
Yes, Richard.
Well, you know, I have to say, having been on this committee now for, I don't know, a year and a half, it's my recollection that there have been numerous incidents where Serene has interrupted me and other people without probable cause. And, you know, I just want that to be on the record that you know, it's cumulative, and hopefully it will stop. That's all.
Okay.
Point of personal privilege.
Yes, Serene.
If Mr. Phelps wishes to engage in a review of the record that is balanced, I think he will find that there are, in fact, numerous times when lots of people have interrupted. In fact, even earlier on this call, Madam Chair had to remind the member who imputed motive when she was discussing my motion that she needed to gain the floor before she spoke. There have been numerous interruptions by people throughout this call. None of them with any attempt of discipline. There clearly is some differential treatment at work here. And in fact, each and every time that I have been censured or admonished or disciplined by this chair, it has been after she has given me the floor and then sometimes taken it back in the middle of my statement, which is not, you don't have to agree with what I say. But if you've given me the floor, I'm entitled to finish my statement. You consistently cut me off or allow others to do so.
Your violation of not only decorum, but your abuse sometimes of the floor by introducing extraneous issues or making personal attacks is the cause of these various interruptions and contentious moments that we have had in this committee. And I am not going to argue that. I think everyone on the committee understands what I'm talking about because we've all had to live through this. So I think that you have an objection to the discipline being opposed, and I think perhaps it's time to move to a vote. Everyone has spoken on it who seems to want to. Mary, if you would call the roll
to
Don's statement.
Now this, let's see, is on Don's, if I have this correct, we are now voting on Don's motion that the minutes record that the chair admonished the member for an outburst and
accusations
some
member.
Word which I can
accusation
accusations against another member.
Right.
Okay. That's what we're voting on, right?
Correct.
Okay. I'm going to abstain because I wasn't here to hear hear any of it, so I missed that part. Carolyn Burden?
Yeah.
Terry Goodman?
Abstain.
Patty Heffley? Melinda?
Linda Eiley Doan.
I'm curious, could you tell me, please, what a yes and a no vote would mean on this?
My understanding is that a yes vote says that the minutes will record that the chair admonished the member for an outburst and accusations against another member. A no vote will mean the minutes do not record that the chair so admonished the member.
Of course, the minutes have to be reflective, so I'd say yes.
Let's see. Richard Phelps.
Yes.
Serene Roberts. Serene? Oops.
No.
Oh, yeah, okay, no. Deb Shafto.
Yes.
Let's see, Ted Weisko has left. Okay, LaVarne Williams.
Yes.
And Don White.
Yes.
This
no,
Patty.
Patty. Yeah,
yes.
Pat, you're voting yes.
Yes, I am.
Okay. Okay. I think I have, is there anyone I didn't call? I think I've got everyone.
I'm not sure if you've got Serene's vote.
Yeah, you did. She was a no.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yes, 1 no, 2 abstain. So this motion apparently passes. Is that correct? Okay.
Thank you. Now we need to move on to ruling that motion out of order, so I understand where we are.
I'm sorry.
The original motion.
Which was?
Serene's motion to regarding the financing.
Oh, the motion
financing.
That, right, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh. The vote is
there any more discussion
uphold the
on
chair.
That?
Yes okay. means you uphold the chair. No means you don't.
Okay, so
that's it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Can we proceed with that?
I'm just trying to write just one second.
Mm-hmm.
Ruling. Okay. Yes. Okay.
Point of order.
Oh.
Yes, Don.
Yeah. I believe the chair would agree with me that her ruling, which I'm going to support, her ruling is that this motion in its present form
mm-hmm.
is out of order, but the issue that Shireen has raised, which has to do with the campaign finance reform and so on, you know, is not out of order. It's simply this motion in its present form and that this whole issue...
Order, that colloquy is totally out of order. There's a specific motion that's made. It's either in order or out of order, and whatever you might think about what you could do with it next week doesn't go in the record.
Point of order, please.
Sorry, Don, but I just, you know, it's nice talk.
Richard, excuse
yeah.
me, but that's out of order. Can we, Don's point is perhaps out of order. It's well taken, but I understand that. Let us proceed, please.
Mm-hmm. Well, but I gather that it is the language of the motion in its present form, right? That's
the motion was simply that it was out of order. I did not
yeah.
add to it, although I'm
yeah. okay.
sympathetic
excuse
to the
me.
Issue.
I apologize.
Thank you. That's
so
all right. Thank
I strike
you for
the words.
Me of that.
So I strike the words in its present form?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
No, right. you can leave that in. That's
okay.
all right.
Oh, you don't leave that in. It's redundant. It
well,
is in its present form. That's the only thing you can be ruling on.
Well... There's a difference, anyway. Okay, so...
be a lawyer. All right, go ahead now.
It's logic. It has nothing to do with law.
I'm going to pass for the minute. Maybe I'll... I don't know. Let me see here. Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Okay. Terry Goodman.
Yes.
Patty Heffley. Okay, I'll come back to her. Melinda Eiley Doan.
Yes.
Richard Phelps?
Yes.
Deb Shafto?
Yes.
And let's see, Ted has left. Don White?
I'm sorry,
yes.
Mary. I'm sorry, Mary, are you calling the names in alphabetical order?
Yeah.
You skipped Serene Roberts.
I'm sorry, Serene.
No.
I'm sorry.
That's
you don't
fine.
Know. Right, sorry.
No problem.
Let's see, Don White.
Yes.
What did you? Huh? You're voting yes? No. What? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think I voted yes. Yeah, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, well,
there were other people talking when you did it.
It wasn't clear. Okay, LeVarne Williams?
Yes.
And let's see, Carol Wolf is gone. Patty Heffley? Patty. Well, I don't know where she is. I don't know the issues of this, really, so I'll have to abstain. I would be inclined to vote no, but I don't really know what it is.
Mary.
Okay. I know, that's
you're
not
abstaining, thank
happen.
You. It's seven,
one
nine,
or the other.
Two,
nope.
Three, four, five, let's see. One, two, three, five, seven, yes. Mm-hmm. One no, one abstain.
Chair is.
So the
all right.
Chair is ruling. Okay. Upheld. Okay.
Madam Chair, I move
yes.
to
a point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say before we adjourn that the I have the motion that was passed as amended that I wrote,
mm-hmm.
but it would be important for directors to get the exact, even if we don't get minutes, that that Richard or someone get us the exact wording of the other motion that was passed.
What other motion?
So that
my
we
motion.
Have it for the next PMB meeting.
Point of
thank you.
Information, what motion are you referring to?
I'm referring to the main motion that Richard Phelps did.
That.
You have that. So
yeah,
even if you
I,
don't...
Mary, yeah, if you could email me at the moment that last language about
the logs,
that's the only thing I need.
I'm sorry, the language about what?
Logs, but if you can do the whole thing and send it out, that'd be great.
Yeah, even if you don't do the minutes, do send that motion immediately as soon as possible.
If I may, it's rather important that it get out early. Perhaps people can send their language to Mary to help her.
Yeah.
And she can put it together, and the directors would like to have this when you're in the throes, aren't you? What time tomorrow would you need to have this done?
No, any time tomorrow.
Any time tomorrow. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I would have preferred to do it tomorrow morning. I can draft it tonight, but I'd like to look it over tomorrow
sure.
morning.
That's
why I said
much.
It, because
yeah.
I got up
that's
at 3
fine.
This morning, and I went to bed at 12:30, and I don't
yes.
know.
Yes, it's your Sunday,
okay.
I know.
Stop, Rick.
Yeah.
And we need, can you also send whatever the finished product is to Dave Adelson there?
Yeah.
He needs
this. I think that's
Mary,
what he said.
Mary, would you send me a copy, please, Richard?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'll send the committee a copy. You want?
Okay.
Thank you.
That's
that
great.
Would be very
yeah,
helpful.
That's great. That'll
do.
And you had said the P&B and Dave Adelson and the supervisor.
Well, just to Dave and the directors here, because this is going to be carried to the P&B.
Okay.
I want to ask one quick thing before we end the meeting.
And then, mm-hmm. oh, okay.
It's Melinda. I just wanted everybody just to kind of remember, if nothing else, just a moment of silence for a very special lady we lost this weekend.
Mm.
Ann Richards, who was probably one of the most amazing governors we ever had.
Yes, and one of the victims of Karl Rove.
Yeah.
Or the nation has ever had.
I tell you what, I'm real proud to say we grew up in the same neighborhood. And I don't know if anybody remembers it, but at the PMB meeting, I attended the first one. I cracked a few people up because I did that. George Bush was born with a silver foot in his mouth.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I was born in the same neighborhood.
Well, she redeems Texas is what she does, Melinda. Thank you for reminding us.
Please don't get off because I have another question.
That's a lovely moment. Oh, whatever phone that is, it's terrible.
Someone is scraping something.
Either that or they're winding their batteries.
Giant rats are eating through someone's entrails.
Well, I heard a motion to adjourn. Are there any objections to adjournment?
Yes, I have a question, please. So I sent to David Adelson, the election committee, and also the national supervisor, or not?
No.
Oh,
no, because we need to pass this before it goes to him.
Well, he's on the listserv, isn't he?
He's on the listserv, so this is stupid. Yeah, he gets it, of course. How stupid.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So at least he'll know what's going on.
Right.
Okay.
That's it. Right. Got
yes,
it.
We did promise him that we would send him thing, whatever we passed that was
important. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Point of privilege?
Please.
Yes, consistent with open meetings provisions, I try to avoid argumentation leading to a decision on lists. But on tonight's agenda, we had a motion regarding fair campaign violations on the WBI LSB website, and I have sent to members on the public list suggested substitute for that. And by mentioning that during this meeting, I think I less compromise those open meeting provisions.
All
so
right, thank you very much.
I request members to look at my
you said it tonight?
Substitute.
You sent it tonight, Terry?
Yes, after the meeting started.
Okay, I'll find it. Thank you.
To the open list or to both lists?
I think to both lists.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I think I got two copies of it, so that's
because it's your own both. Yeah.
I will look forward. It remains an open issue. Thank you very much, people. No objections to adjourn. Mary, you had another question, or do we?
No, I got it answered.
Wonderful. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.